Hello. Northampton Town won their first game in 4 at home to Tranmere Rovers in a 5-goal ding-dong. Goals from Fraser Matthew Horsfall, who got 2, and Mitchell Bernard Pinnock were enough to take all the points on Saturday. The result puts the Cobblers of Northampton 3 points clear in second place in Division 4.
Rain again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup, and Northampton 3! Yes!
Hello, welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me.
I can't keep doing it. I'm Charles, and this is the award-winning podcast about Northampton Town, made for and by Cobblers fans. Hello, joining me this week to celebrate the Cobblers' 125th, that is bloody old, anniversary are Chessie Coleman and Danny Brothers. How are you guys? Are you well? Are you feeling party-like?
I've had a great weekend. Wonderful. Absolutely, stunningly wonderful, excellent, fabulous. All those wonderful adjectives to describe it.
Any more superlatives coming from you, Mr. Brothers?
Yes. Hey. All of them. All of them. Disappointed, Charles, that you didn't give us full names in the intro there.
Oh, I should have done it.
Yeah, never mind.
Should we go back and do it?
No, it's all right. You carry on. Next time. When it's
150,
yeah, 150 anniversary,
like 90 years old.
When you'll actually sound like that bloke that you did an impression of earlier, Charles.
Hello.
That's a town top of the Premier League after a sumptuous 5-0 win over Leicester. Oh, what a weekend! That was fun.
It was, wasn't it?
It was.
That was just what Kenny Duker ordered.
The thing is, I think I speak for a lot of Northampton Town fans, and I know it was mentioned on the radio by Jake Sharp and a couple of people on Twitter, there couldn't have been a more fitting result than 75 minutes on the clock, cruising at 3-0, to be absolutely terrified that we're going to lose it or even draw it. I don't know what was worse.
I know.
On 90 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I was getting ready to give Kenneth Robert John Duker a phone call for some aspirin. Yes, I did just Google his full name for you, Dan.
Wasn't it fantastic? What a day. It was brilliant.
What a day. I tell you why it was so fantastic. It wasn't just that we got a win, obviously, because I mean, let's be honest here, I don't think any of us, as soon as we saw that, I think the club tweeted to say there were about 300 tickets left in the all in the East Stand as well, they had to put that in there, didn't they? we all went, oh, big occasion, what do the Cobblers normally do? So we were all a little bit like, oh, let's go and enjoy the day and try and just enjoy it regardless of the result. I mean, brilliant for us to actually, you know, have all those fans in, 7,300, and I think 700 of them were from Tranmere, roughly. So to have all of those fans in Sixfields was brilliant. To then get a win, to have a really, I thought, in good game with a really good atmosphere as well, was absolutely fantastic. But it wasn't just that. It wasn't just having the legends coming out at half time. It wasn't just the new kit, the resplendent chocolate and brown. Oh, look, it wasn't just that. The other bit that absolutely made my day was getting to spend it with the three of you. And Neil is included in that. He obviously isn't here today to record, but oh, it was nice seeing all of you at half time.
We were back together again.
We were, briefly.
First time since August, all in one place.
Yeah. First time since someone opened the Q&A with, why haven't you signed a good goalkeeper? But we'll gloss over that. I'm going to bring that back every now and then. But this was probably my favourite game in person for many a year, I think, in terms of the entire day. It's like you said, like we started it off by, and we had lunch together, Charles.
We had a lovely, sumptuous meal in the tavern.
Then we met some slackers, some of our fan club members in the pub.
which was brilliant.
And we'll come on to more of that later, because there's a story in there that we have to share from our friend Brian. And just the general atmosphere around the place, the hoopla around the 125, everyone was in good spirits. And like you say, it's usually when 3 o'clock hits, that's when it turns sour, but it didn't. And just the way that we went about stuff, we were playing with pride. We played like we matched the occasion.
Yeah.
And which is very rare for us to do. And I think now we've got a point to say, actually, it doesn't always happen where we sell out. Because you were saying before the game, I think, Charles, when was the last time we actually matched the occasion with a performance like that? I was throwing out
playoffs and
things
ones.
From 20 years ago that you were scoffing at, saying it's not enough.
I want more, damn it.
We've got a reference point now from when it went right. And it was just such a good day. And I think it just, like, the result was great, but everything around it was so much night was even better, I think, because it just kind of brings back to you all of the, you're celebrating the birthday, you kind of reflect on it and you think, actually, the wins are great, but it's who you spend it with and who you spend time with before and after the game and who you go through these emotions with that makes it even better, doesn't it? So it was just I just absolutely loved that day, that this game, and I think it's going to be one that we come back to when we look back on memories in the future, even just say, actually, that game was one of the best at Sixfields, I think, in terms of the whole day, the whole occasion. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I concur. It was fantastic.
It really was.
And also, one more thing to say, Charles.
Mm.
Still got it.
I've got so about loud. 10.
Been sleeping with it.
I've got like 10. I collected loads.
Did you just pick them up as you went out?
Of course I did. I'm a child.
Oh, I only saw, did you get multicoloured ones? Because I saw that there were some white and there were some claret. Were there any other colours? Or is it just white and
no,
claret?
No, it was just claret and white.
I think the idea being claret and white, Charles. I don't know.
It's not likely to be a pink one in there to celebrate that pink kit we once had.
Yeah. I just thought.
Or
I just
lime wondered. Green one.
Oh, God. Yeah.
An orange and speckled star one.
Oh, dear. What a kit that was.
What a kit.
It was fantastic. I loved that kit. And also, as well, I think it was. It made it feel a bit different, didn't it? I know the occasion was completely kind of built up and we'd had the big build up throughout the week, but actually having that, when they walked out with that kit, it was like, oh, actually, this is actually something quite special, isn't it?
It really was a special day. Yeah, it was. I mean, just the whole thing. I mean, the fact that we got to spend a bit of time together, the four of us as a pod team.
We got Haribo!
Did finally.
Finally, the Haribos came out.
Months late. We got,
as you said, Danny, we got to see all, the, well, not all of them, but we got to see a large percentage of our slackers from the fan club at our meetup that we did before the game. That was really fun. It was so nice to see everybody in person and to just be able to have, you know, an actual face-to-face conversation. I mean, our Slack channel is brilliant. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely love it. And if you want to join it, patreon.com/cobblers2me. Honestly, seeing everybody face-to-face because of how wonderfully... it's very positive, isn't it, our Slack channel? I mean, don't get me wrong. We're all Cobblers fans, so we all still have a little bit of a moan from time to time. But everybody is very positive towards each other. It's very friendly, very welcoming, and very nice and pleasant, isn't it? And it's great that camaraderie,
yes,
has
good word,
been developed.
Excellent.
And in person, I it felt like actually everyone being able to sort of say, hello, I'm this man that's behind the keyboard, you know, just cemented the relationships even further. It was brilliant.
Was so
absolutely
good.
Brilliant. And I want to just give a shout out, actually, first of all, to one of our newest patrons. His name is Brian Robbins, and he's from Alabama in the United States of America. He only joined the Patreon last week, but we met him on Saturday. He came to the tavern, and it's a wonderful, wonderful story. So essentially, he met a couple of Cobblers fans on Twitter, one of which is one of our patrons, Jonty. Hi, Jonty. Who, after having a conversation and finding out that Brian and his partner Christine were coming over from the US. They're coming over for at least a week because they also support Everton. And there's a connection from of Brian's surname coming back to Northampton, which is why he started following us, which I thought is brilliant. So he started following the Cobblers in 2015-16. And obviously that then gives him a further connection to Everton because of Dominic Calvert-Lewin now playing for Everton. And he decided that even though the Everton supporters club, I think that he's a member of over at home in Alabama, are coming over to watch a game at Goodison Park next week. He thought, come over a week earlier and we'll go and take in a game at Sixfields. And it just so happened it was this weekend and this game, the 125th anniversary. Anyway, Jonty made sure that he got tickets. Jonty made sure he knew where to go. And he got everything sorted, and Brian turns up to the pub, says hello with Christine in tow. We all say hello. It was just brilliant. And then after the game, he popped into Carr's Bar, where a few of us met up after again. He comes in. Tom Cliff then comes in. He's obviously the supporters' fan representative on the board. I quickly introduced Tom to Brian, and Tom went, literally, hold my beer. And took both Brian and Christine to go and meet John Brady and Colin Calderwood. Just
what a wonderful story.
So good.
Brilliant.
And I love how football can do that.
Isn't it?
It's amazing. Like a little League Two club for someone in Alabama to end up there and meeting the manager and everything like that. So
I know. Good. It's just a brilliant story. And I just, you know, publicly here and now, obviously, Brian, it was so good to meet you. Christine, it was lovely to meet you as well. Thank you so much for coming over. Thank you for your support as well for the podcast. But just Jonty, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant, sterling work. Well done to you, sir. It was lovely to have a drink with you on Saturday, as it was to have a drink with all of the other Patreons that we met. It was really, really good. And also a big thank you to anybody that said hello on Saturday, whether you're a Patreon member, just a, you know, whoever you are, just a fan, a listener, whatever.
Ticket people office saying, man. I don't know. Sorry, I really should have caught his name because he recognized my name on the ticket, but he gave it to me. And then I was trying to get Jeffy's, and then I couldn't remember Jeffy's first name because we just called her Jeffy. And so it was the official Francesca name that I just had to, took me a while to get into, but yeah. Yeah, that kind of thing. Great. Love that. Hello, ticket office man.
Well done, ticket office man. I have to make a personal thank you to Danny for picking up my tickets because I couldn't get there for 12 o'clock. And a personal apology to anyone that was looking forward to seeing me at the tavern and saying hello. I was stuck on the M1 with most of Northamptonshire.
Oh, dear.
I wasn't even supposed to be on the M1.
All that pesky traffic. But yeah, it was a fab game, a fab day even. And that leads us on to the fab game as well, which we witnessed. Now, like you were saying, Danny, I did really enjoy it. And maybe it is because we won, and maybe that's why. Maybe I wouldn't be feeling as giddy as I do had we not taken all 3 points. But it was just, it was really good. And I will say, Tranmere weren't very good at all. Until the last 20 minutes when they seemed to get their act together. But a bit like I said to you, I think, Danny, at the time, and your brother as well, was it that Tranmere upped their game or was it that we kind of allowed them into it?
I personally think that it's going to be controversial, but I'm going to say I think the weather had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, because it was very windy, wasn't it?
And I don't think anyone really realised that until they got out the ground. I think the telltale sign was that Roberts, although he's incredible and fantastic and the saves he makes are on point, kicking wasn't great second half from that end. And any time they tried to get some kind of foothold in the game and on the ball, they couldn't. And it was almost a mirror image of what Tranmere was struggling with in the first half. Now, all right, Tranmere didn't necessarily really come alive, like you say, till the last 20 minutes. But I do think that wind had a massive impact on the flow. And I think that's And I actually said to Sean before the game, we really need to kick in that way first half to get in front, because the wind is going to play a huge part.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly did, because the Tranmere keeper had the same issue, didn't he, with a few of his. And you could tell if the ball went up in the air...
It didn't come down.
It would blow back in the direction it had come from, towards the south stand, wouldn't it? Whereas if you managed to keep it low and fairly flat in terms of its trajectory in the air, then it would travel. But anything sort of high and floaty... would just get caught in the wind.
High and floaty. Sounds like a really rubbish Britain's Got Talent duo.
Oh, dear. Move over, Stavros Flatley.
I think the third goal was very important.
Yes.
Oh, really? It definitely was.
Because I think what it did, if anything, is one, gave us a cushion, which is fairly obvious, but two, just relieved a little bit of pressure, because it was very one-sided for big parts of that second half. I don't think we played particularly badly at all second half, like you say, the wind. But secondly as well, I think Tranmere did come out with a bit more intent, especially when their subs came on. But I think Neil mentioned this on Saturday, and I do agree that we were massively adaptable, and the subs that were made really, really worked and were really, really effective. Controversially, I think Danny Rose did a really, really good job, and I kind of think we might not have won that game without him, because he came on to do exactly what Danny Rose does, which is fall on the ground and win a free kick. And he won about three or four in our half when the pressure was really on. So I think we adapted really well. That's the kind of Danny Rose we need, and when we need him. Last 10 minutes of a real iffy part of a game, that's when we need him. That's the kind of player he is. And that was that adaption was really, really key. Very impressed with the way we adapted.
Yeah, you were right. Neil did say that. And he actually asked us, didn't he, when he said that he wasn't going to be able to make the recording for this week. He said, can you make sure that you confirm my credit to John Brady for changing it up? And well done to the club for a great day. I think that's because, the week before, Neil's been quite, I'd say, critical of maybe there not being a plan B or a plan C. Whereas he was very happy on Saturday to basically have that shoved back down his throat.
I think that's what we want, isn't it? I heard some nattering when Pinnock came off. People were saying, "Ah, no, that's not right." I actually think it was, because we did not need a striker. We needed, as I say a striker, but a midfielder, an attacker. We needed someone to shore up that defence and just get bodies behind Tranmere's attack. And I think we did that really well.
I think that's fine. I think because when it was the number 11 went up on the board and we saw that, I think you and I turned to each other, didn't we, Danny? And went, what? What are you doing that for?
We're in a panic, though, I think.
Yeah, a little bit. And then, but actually, you think about it, and you think about how things that we've actually said on the pod the last few weeks is that, you know, it almost felt like at times we've had to sort of just put Pinnock somewhere. Yeah. You know, to fit him into this side, regardless of the formation. And, you know, I understand why, because he's probably our best attacking player. He's certainly our biggest threat, or at least he'll cause the biggest threat. But he hasn't worked very well when he's not been being played on the left wing.
He was much better in that position, wasn't he?
He was, absolutely.
When he went to the four at the back, we had the old Mitchie back.
Well, that was it. So then when we bought Tyler McGlaur on in order to shore us up, although that, you know, didn't quite happen early enough, did it? Because literally it was, I think Tyler was still there waiting to get on, and then they scored the first of their goals, Tranmere. But it was the right decision, because we've seen Pinnock not really be effectual. Is that a word? I don't know. Effective, thank you. I don't know where that word came from. I've just plucked it out of thin air. He wasn't very effective. If he's not being played in his best position.
You were thinking of functional and effective.
Yeah, probably was. Yeah.
Effectual. Can we just go over to Dictionary Corner for a minute? Effectual is a word.
Is it?
Yes.
Blimey, countdown.
Yeah.
Give us a definition.
Of something inanimate or abstract, successful in producing a desired or intended result.
Well done. Hold on, Mitch Pinner. Hold on,
for example, tobacco smoke is the most effectual protection against the midge.
Oh, is it really?
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if that's midge.
But yeah, the point I was making, sorry, was just that taking Pinnock off and changing the formation was the right thing to do on the basis of I don't think Pinnock would have been very effective in that sort of 3-5-2 or whatever it was that we were effectively going to. Go on, Danny.
Yeah, I was going to say, going back to the original point we were trying to make about when the game changed, I think the game changed pretty dramatically when Sowerby went off. And having him back is so good because is one of those, I think they were talking about after the game on the radio, that he's one of those people that you just don't recognise until he's gone.
He's like a John Joe.
And he's been out and he's been trying to put Paul Lewis back though, and it just doesn't work for Paul Lewis. But
no.
His calm on the ball and his reading of the game is so good. And he's just been a massive miss. So I think as soon as he went off, we seemed to lose that control in the midfield and they just came onto us.
Well, this is it,
blood. I was so glad we weren't playing for another 10 minutes because I think we possibly would have conceded again.
I would say glad we're not playing for another 30 seconds.
I was sat there timing the injury time as well.
I do think, oh God, you were as well. I was like, what are you doing?
I was in such a state. It's like the first day all over again.
Sowerby is just, I mean, it was great, first of all, to see him back on the team sheet and, you know, straight back in the starting 11. I thought that was great because there was no real hint that was going to happen up until maybe about, 24 hours earlier, Brady did. There was a piece in the Cron that said we were coming back towards full fitness. But there was an inkling, wasn't there, that we might have him back. But to see his name on the team sheet, I was like, yes, that's what we needed to see. Plus to then see that, you know, no offence to Tyler McGlaw whatsoever, but to see him on the bench meant the formation change. So when going back to the back four, that was another real positive before kickoff, I thought, for all of us as fans, because we were starting to go, look at that team. That team looks balanced. It looks like, you know, it's going to cause problems for the defence. It also looks like it's going to be pretty strong. It was really good seeing that. And I will say that I always think that Sowerby alongside McWilliams, that central midfield partnership is just superb. There's been a lot of talk over the last few weeks while Sowerby's been out injured about how we've been so light in central midfield. And there's been talk, I think we've said it, about how Sean can't do it all on his own. But you watch the difference in how good people perceive Sean McWilliams' play to be when he's got Jack Sowerby next to him. Because he's got the freedom to go and do the stuff that we all love to see him do. Whereas with Jack, you don't really necessarily see what he's doing.
But it's a confidence thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sean McWilliams is a definite confidence player. When you get the best out of Sean McWilliams, one, when you've got a manager that sees the potential in him and he flourishes under that. And two, when you've got players around him that one can keep him in check because he's a firecracker, isn't he? But that's a good thing. And two, when he's got the ability to actually play passing football. But one thing he's brilliant at, heading the ball. Heading the ball point perfectly for an attacker to roll onto and then a goal to be scored. Because that exact sequence happened this weekend. Because Apparé as well. Oh, Apparé. I'm renaming him. Okay, so we've got the king, obviously, for Koike. Right, he is called Apparé of Sunshine because the man is just brilliant. He's just absolutely brilliant. I don't care how many goals he scores, okay, because I don't think he's one of those out-and-out goal scorers, but the ability that he has on the ball to force people into that penalty area to get goals, it's almost priceless. I wonder what his assist rate is in terms of getting people into the box, because I mean Pinnock's goal, he effectively has passed it, and everyone
thinks it was the wrong pass. Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, it's the wrong pass, but it was perfect.
His hold up play is so good. When you've got, you know, I don't want to go on about people who like being too negative about Danny Rose and stuff, but when you've got him up there, it doesn't feel like it's going to stick ever. With Apparé, you know, he's going to hold on to it and at least gives us a chance to get up the pitch. and he looks a bit isolated for the first 15, 20 minutes or so. But actually, he does hold it up well enough for the likes of Pinnock and Hoskins to catch him up, and Lewis to catch him up as well to create things. We've got to keep him fit as well. That's the most important thing, because we've had in and outs of, you know, Chanka Zimba's back on the bench this weekend, but Epi is out now for about 2 or 3 weeks, they said. So it's so important to keep the core of the team fit. The Horsfalls, the Guthries, the McWilliam, Salbys, the Apparae. And that's my main worry now, is that we're still pretty much a good 11, and it's when you take a cog out still, isn't it, that things start to slip.
I would say he's probably one of our most important cogs at the minute.
Cogit.
Yes, Cogit.
Oh, we haven't talked about the King's Chance.
Oh, God.
I was getting ready to throw all my Haribos in your direction, like a confetti of Haribo, if that went in.
Oh, it was brilliant. I just wish it would have gone in, because it would have just been fantastic. But how many chances did they need on that occasion? When there were four of them at one point.
I think so. I think it was a total scramble. Was it? Proper scramble, though.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Oh, so that's League Two football. It's his best, isn't it?
Oh, God, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I want to ask you, because there's an awful lot over the last few weeks, in fact, over the entire season, that it feels like to me that we've not, and it's very easy, I will say this straight away, it's very easy for me to say this off the back of a win, right? But I want to talk about how negative we always seem to be. We always seem to be, and I'm sure that this is football fans in general and isn't just Cobblers fans, but all this sort of noise, we'll call it, about the fact that, well, about the league being poor, or, you know, we're lucky to be second, or the fact that, well, we only score goals from set pieces. All of these things that are negatives towards, I mean, did the two of you enjoy Fraser Horsfall's two goals?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I know where that negativity comes from, though, Charles.
Go on.
Because me and Sean have talked about this on several occasions in this season. We've both been Cobblers fans long enough to know when you've got a rubbish team and you ain't got a rubbish team, right? And I mean, there have been some woeful teams. And the thing is, when you sit and you watch a Cobblers team that are absolutely dreadful, they're absolutely dreadful. There's nothing you can do about it, right? You've got a Cobblers team in front of you that absolutely, on their day, can destroy teams. We've seen it. We've watched it. They're brilliant. But I think it's not necessarily negativity. It's born out of frustration. Sean said it on Saturday. He's like, they are the most frustrating team I've ever known, being a Cobblers fan, because we know the ability's there, but you don't know what you're going to get on the day. And I think that's sometimes the issue.
But do you think that going and saying things like, well, it's a poor league, we're only really second because it's a poor league, I mean, that's not fair, is it, on the team and how well we've actually done? I mean, if we all go to the back to, you know, what we said at the start of the season when we put our predictions in, for example, as to where we thought the Cobblers were going to finish, let me just find this.
Mine was seventh to win the playoffs.
Yours was 10th, actually. I've got it written down here.
Cobblers, amazing.
So, Cobblers League positions here for the four of us. So me and you, Chezzy, both of us said 10th.
Did I?
Danny, you said 8th. And Neil said 3rd. So out of all of us, Neil is the closest to actually getting a correct prediction. Obviously, still a few games to go.
Neil did say we'd win the league last season as well.
Yeah, he did, didn't he, last season. But I think he said he was taking this one a little bit more seriously. Although then he did give Rico being sacked for leaving cans of Iron Brew in Coldwood's office every week. So there you go. But I think, judging on the fact that we all, the three of us that are on the pod right now, none of us were even expecting playoffs. So at the moment, the team are exceeding our expectations. And they deserve credit for that, don't
they? Yeah, they absolutely do, but just at the moment. Because we might have won yesterday. Well, as of recording day, yesterday. But our season, I think, still is on a knife edge, because you've got a lot of teams that have got games in hand, and you've got a lot of teams below us that are on mega runs, the likes of Mansfield. Also, Charles, on the comment of, oh, it's a poor league. It is a poor league, right? But every team, by the League Two standard, it is generally a poorer league than what we've witnessed. But that goes for everything, right? Because we've seen enough games to know, because we've only got about 11 left. Or is it 10 left now? I don't know. But anyway. So
don't we say that every season, though? Every season we say it's a poor division.
No. Not like this.
I don't know, you know. I think football fans in general will always say that, oh, it's a poor division, especially fans of teams that are expecting to be good.
No,
I don't think we are, regardless of whether, you know, of what our suggestion was or our predictions were. I think we still have it in our head that we are a top end of League Two team at the very least, and that's where we should be, rightly or wrongly. But I do think that football fans say, oh, it's a poor league. Well, of course it's a poor league. It's the fourth division of English football. It's not the best of the best of the best, is it?
But also the thing is, we can only judge it on when we play them. No one's out there watching Exeter against Hartlepool on a Tuesday night to judge how they are in that game, are they?
Yeah, absolutely.
That we played Mansfield, didn't we, early in the season. We probably thought, you know, rubbish. Mm. But now they're fifth. And they're the team that we're probably most worried about, I'd say. Teams go in fits and starts, and we only see them for two games. We only see the opposition for two games. So it's difficult to properly judge, isn't it, with what kind of standard the league is. And I actually think what the top 10 now are decent from what I can see. Mm. And from having played a couple of them twice. I don't think it's a poor league, but I think as well we kind of get distracted by the fact that we have been good and we know what we're capable of, basically. We know that we can be better. So when we're not as good, like for example at Rochdale and like in the second half against Walsall, it's more frustration, I think, than anything for me, that we know we can do a lot better than that.
Charles is one fair team not doing very well.
Is there?
Single figures.
Yes, absolutely.
Ooh, I wonder who that
should we have a little look? 8 points?
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Yeah. By the way, I'm not advocating that it's definitely going to happen, but I'm just living a bit of a dream at the moment because it is happening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's live the dream. It's always
fun. Yeah, absolutely. Let me live my 5-minute dream and then it will come crashing back down next Saturday at Carlisle.
By the way, Danny, Tuesday night, I might just partake in a little bit of Exeter City versus Swindon Town.
Right, go for it. Yeah, you go for it. Or where are you going to watch that?
Or I might watch Big John Yems against Bristol Rovers.
Yeah, you go for it. You're going to play a tenner for
it. Well, I presume that you can go on the iFollow. I presume you can just sign up to iFollow on any teams and just go in and watch it.
You go for it, James.
I wouldn't want to play Bristol Rovers now, I'm telling you.
I think we might have to do that soon.
That's a dangerous game.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to soon.
Yeah.
Pretty sure we've got to do that soon at some point. In fact, in 3 games' time.
So, to be fair, like Joey Barton did say earlier in the week that they're coming into form at the right time and then lost to Newport.
Yeah.
But that was...
brilliant.
Before we move on, Charles, I don't know if you want to move on. Just want to mention Tranmere as well, because I think if we'd have been playing Barrow. Let's say Barrow, because that's quite safe. If we were playing a Barrow, I don't think the occasion would have felt as good. But Tranmere obviously turned out in the numbers, made a lot of noise.
Mm.
And I think it was a good opponent for that.
Yeah, it would have been dreadful if there was only 100 and something fans, wouldn't it? Yeah, that would have been awful. Yeah. Imagine what sort of team would do that.
Also their kit as well. I thought that was a really nice little nod.
Yeah.
Oh, it was. Absolutely. Yeah, it really was a nice nod to obviously what's going on in the world right now. I thought that was great. So it was their third strip top and their away strip shorts, wasn't it? To basically make would you call it inverted Ukrainian flag? Because the colours are the wrong way up, aren't they?
Yeah.
You're upside down.
Unless you're up, that's right, yes. So, yeah, they went yellow shirts and light blue shorts. And obviously the Ukrainian flag is blue and then yellow. But I thought it was great. I thought that was really good. Added to the occasion, I thought.
Yeah, and the standing ovation was absolutely fantastic as well.
Brilliant. Oh, really quick one about this, right? Not about the standing ovation, not about Ukraine, but obviously what happened during that. And then what happened and went on to was that those things that you've got, Danny, that noisy thing, the clapper.
The clappers, yeah.
What are your thoughts? Would you like to have those at every match?
Yeah, I wasn't a fan at first. Like, well, we had them a while ago, didn't we? I can't remember what it was for.
Oh, it's been years, I think.
It's been a while. Had them.
Years.
Long time.
I actually don't mind them now, if I'm honest.
Really?
Yeah. Bit of fun.
I mean, is it not a bit tin pot?
Nah, I don't mind it. I think as long as everybody's doing it at once and you occasionally get the odd one, they'll just do it during the game.
If you were in the Tranmere end, what would you be saying?
Oh, I'd be slagging it off. That's
I just wanted. No, look, I think actually, in terms of the atmosphere, it helped to generate the atmosphere. The one thing that I will say is that there was at least one point, I think it was when we had a corner. I quite like this. Just the clapping, you know, just the slow clap that builds.
Because we all know what's going to happen.
That's the thing now, isn't it? Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I love that. You don't have the clappers, do you?
Penalty aside, because I think it was the wrong decision for the penalty, okay?
It was awful looking
penalty
back on it.
Penalty aside, okay? That instant I am taking away from what I'm about to say because the penalty decision was not right. That referee was fantastic.
Best ref we've had this season.
Yeah, apart from that penalty decision. And do you know what the best thing about it was? It was like when you walk into a classroom as a kid and you reckon you're just going to mess about and a teacher's like, sit down. Because that Tranmere player that thought he'd be really clever and just effectively what you can only describe as do a Tom Daly and dive so blatantly, whacks out, yellow card straight away within the first 9 minutes. Fantastic. Every single player knew where they stood, taking no nonsense. Let the game flow, no problem whatsoever. Really good, solid refereeing, apart from that one decision. But I'm prepared to forgive him, one, because we won, and two, because, I don't know, maybe he just felt a bit sorry for Tranmere.
Good stuff.
Did you see somebody left a pair of glasses on his windscreen?
Oh, did really?
Yeah, like somebody shared an Instagram post of his. I know it is called like whatever his name is, Ref. He's come back to his car and someone's left some glasses on his windscreen. I don't know who's walking around with no glasses on now, but
whether he was
just doing it as a joke, whether they were his own glasses
it's
or
so
not.
It's so ironic, but, though, because without that decision, he would be, honestly, he was so good.
He was good, really good. I think he's a championship ref, isn't he?
Yeah, and you could tell.
He could.
Yeah, he was fantastic, minus that decision.
Well, it was. It was really good refereeing, I thought. I enjoyed it. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be saying that if we'd lost, but, you know, that's because completely biased. Anyway.
And also, just shouting out Trevor Kettle for giving us 5 minutes of injury time that weren't even existent.
Bloody Kettle.
Cheers, Kev.
Oh, almost ruined it, didn't he?
Oh, he tried his best, didn't he?
Yeah, he tried his best. Go on, Trevor Kettle.
Thank you so much to each and every one of you that bought one of our It's All Cobblers to Me mugs. Yes, back in December. And in December and January, we were selling our It's All Cobblers to Me mugs in order to raise money for the Western Favel Food Bank. Last week, I was able to put through a donation of £100 to the food bank. And that is all of the money that has been raised from the sale of those mugs. So thank you so much to each and every single one of you that did buy a mug. They're still available. They're still on sale if you want to go to cobblestome.com/shop. But yeah, our donation to the food bank for our Christmas fundraiser this year was £100. So thank you so much for that. Right, it's time for your emails and letters.
It's time to read your letters out, but things have changed, so listen out. If you want to write about Northampton Town, you'll need to write this next bit down. Just have a rant, or just some fun, at podcast@cobblerstome.com. No matter if we lose or win, send us your thoughts. Come on, get them in.
Danny.
Yes.
It's your postbag this week. Oh, mainly because you're the only one that's got eyes on it.
Eyes on, eyes down.
Eyes down.
It's like bingo.
Hands up. Let's go. Who have we got in the post bag? Who's first?
Mr. Mike Fuller.
Oh.
The post bag.
Leeds United Hello. Mike Fuller.
Leeds United fan Mike Fuller. He said, morning all. Or it could be afternoon, wherever you're listening to this.
Evening.
Sorry I didn't get a chance to meet up with you all yesterday. A mixture of grassroots football in the morning. It's a bit harsh on Leeds, Mike. And cold wife and youngest child in the afternoon meant I couldn't make it work next time, though. On a different note, and my postbag item, with Fraser Horsfall bagging another couple, putting him up to 8, and with the Cobblers' clean sheet slash defensive record this season, are we in danger of clubs starting to sniff around him and maybe his head being turned by higher level clubs, especially as I think he's out of contract in the summer? I'd say he is as important or maybe even more important to us than Charlie Goode was at the moment with his current form, so it's inevitable that there would be interest. Thoughts?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Well, John Brady said after the game, didn't he? He hinted that essentially it might be a case of League One will be the only thing that will keep Fraser here.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with everything that Mike has said there, and I agree with everything that anybody has said about Fraser Horsfall in the last 24, 48 hours. He's been absolutely brilliant this season. Just goes to show, doesn't it, Jeffy, that when you've got a decent centre-back partnership, how good you can play.
I couldn't think of one that didn't work. I just can't think in the last 10 years of a set of Cobblers defenders that didn't work. I'm just scratching my head here. Oh, yes. Hello, Kian. How are you? Enjoying the Europa League tour that you're on at the moment?
It feels a bit like deja vu, doesn't it? Like we're saying again towards the end of the season. Like last time, we're a back three, Goode, Wharton,
Jordan the Beard, Turndog.
There, and we thought we can't split that up. All three of them went. So I'm a bit nervous about that. Good bit of honesty though from old Johnny B.
Yeah, I think so. I wouldn't call him old to his face though, mate.
He doesn't look old, does he?
He's not
be
old.
Honest.
He's a whippersnapper. He's young John. Turn of phrase, John. Sorry.
You've done it again. Twice. There you go. Tough. Any more?
Yes. Matthew Crane says, not a question, but I just wanted to say what a great day it was yesterday. Full credit should go to the club for the organisation, the fans for magnificent support, and the players for a great performance for 70 minutes, and grit and determination for the last 20, still buzzing.
Brilliant. And we should say happy birthday, shouldn't we, to Matthew Crane?
Yes, we should. Happy birthday, Matthew Crane. Yes.
Happy birthday.
He had a special birthday neighbour, didn't he, in the stands?
Oh, he did. Yes, he did.
Steve Evans. What's he doing there?
Steve Evans.
Oh. Get him in there.
But you know, the one thing, so I met Matthew after the game in Cars Bar, and I was chatting to him about his experience with Steve Evans. And Steve Evans apparently went to him, "You lot don't like me very much, do you?" But Matthew had a... Matthew
well,
said
he
had a, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Matthew had a good chat with him, and Matthew actually did say to me, he was all right, you know. And I thought to myself, oh, you've been brainwashed there, mate.
I get the feeling he is probably a decent enough bloke in person.
He must be, mustn't he? I mean, at the end of the day. But anyway, I think he probably loves being the pantomime villain, essentially, isn't he? I mean, but yeah.
Same as Barry Fry, really, isn't it? It's like Barry Fry. When you watch him, I went to I'm not going to name the podcast, but there's a podcast about 90s football who do a live show, and Barry Fry was the guest. And I was loving it, to be fair. A lot of it's pantomime.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Roz Spokes.
Hi, Roz.
And she spoke well. sorry, Roz. She says, what does Paul Lewis bring to the team other than ridiculous fouls?
Oh, I disagree with that based on yesterday.
He was better, wasn't he? But I think, again, Sowerby was a lot to do with that.
Yeah, I think so. And also, I do think that his layoff play, a bit like Apoure, definitely not on the level of Apoure, can we just say? Sunshine's great. So I think that...
This
name's going to stick. So but I think the layoff play between him and the strikers attackers was very, very good. And his link up play was good. I don't think he's perfect. And I think sometimes he can, again, like Ross says, give away silly fouls. But Saturday was a real example of how he does things and what he brings to the team effectively, because what he did do, he did very well. So I disagree based on yesterday, but otherwise I think it's near fair.
Fair enough. Fair enough. If you've got any emails or letters, then please do send them in to us. You can email us podcast@cobblerstome.com or go to our website and click on the contact page. Right. It is, of course, the club's 125th anniversary this week on Wednesday, in fact.
So that was the wrong end.
The wrong end.
Wrong end.
yes, it is the club's birthday on Wednesday, the 9th of March. And I thought that it would be really good to end this week's pod by just talking about some of our favourite memories of our time as fans of Northampton Town. If you've not seen it already, there's a blog post on cobblerstome.com where each of us have given one of our favourite moments over the last, well, I mean, essentially, you know, me and Danny are in our 30s. So let's just take over the last sort of 25 years or so where we've been fans, all four of us. But I just, if you can pick out one moment, Jeffy, from your time supporting Northampton Town, what would it be? What would your favourite be?
Orient away 2016. No question.
Yes.
No question whatsoever. And it's funny because for the 6 years in between Anfield and Orient, I always said that nothing would ever compare to beating Liverpool on penalties. But I think that's something as a football fan that everyone will always hold really dear. If they beat, if you're a small club and you beat a giant, that is always going to be something that you absolutely cherish with everything. But arriving on that day for a normal League Two match, obviously we're doing really well. Circumstances meant it was fairly similar to what we had yesterday. And what unfolded during that 90 minutes, it's almost indescribable. It was just magic. Pure magic.
Lovely stuff. Danny, what about yours?
Well, obviously, the whole season Jeffy just talked about was ridiculous. Like, that being confirmed as champions is something I thought I'd never see as a Cobblers fan. So that was pretty magical. I wrote a lot about Wembley 97 on the blog, I think, so I'll leave that. Can I be a little bit controversial, Charles, in Jeffy's words?
Of course you can.
Because we've had a lot of, obviously Anfield is right up there. Wembley is the peak for me. Anfield next. The champions, they're staying up in 2014. But I think one of my favourite memories is the Mansfield defeat. And it sounds ridiculous. In 2004, it sounds like what we lose on penalties. It's all miserable. But I think the entire day, well, we'd lost 2-0 in the first leg, and we in that of that playoff semi-final. But that night at Mansfield, it was so passionate and so, I don't know, it was just like a magical time. The best defeat I think we've ever had, because we've come back and won 3-1. We've got to extra time. We've had all the controversy around it. But the turnout from the Cobblers fans, the noise we made was insane. And to go out of that ground, I think it was a little bit, it was just so much pride in that performance and that, then that, in that day. And like the, you just see again, the potential that the club has got, and it took a couple of years to get promoted again, but it just always sticks out in my mind that playoff defeat, about how proud that away following was. And I think it's just, and every time we have a big match like that, we get a crowd like that, don't we? And we just think, oh, what if we actually did make it up to the, to like top of League One championship. There's so much there. And can I also say, Charles?
Of course you can.
While I'm here, the Cobblers show this week was superb on BBC.
Oh, wasn't it?
And it's worth going back and listening to if you haven't already. Some of the memories on there. The banter between Ricky Holmes and Chris Wilder. Abdul Osman making an appearance as well. And it was just, yeah, it was just so good. I was welling up quite a few times listening to that and listening to some of the commentaries that they overlaid onto it. It was so good. They did a superb job.
Yeah, it was really, really good. I enjoyed it. I listened to it on Friday when I was travelling down, and it was just fabulous. It really was a great listen. So hats off to the team at BBC Radio Northampton for that. Obviously, Mark Webber, Jake Sharp, the whole team, Tim Oglethorpe, the whole team. It was really, really good, really well put together, really enjoyed it. My favourite memory, I mean, I spoke about on the blog, I wrote about how Wembley 98, even though the defeat, it was the moment that I knew that it was in my blood and that this would never die, this feeling of love that I have for what is essentially an inanimate object, a football team.
Nice way to talk about the
but it is, you know, it's not a real person, is it? It's not something I can just cuddle. I can take hold of players. And
it's an
abstract
noun.
All right then. Way to make it erotic. But I the fact that it was just such an emotional ending to that match and stuff, that's what really got me there. I mean, for me, as a favourite, there are so many. I mean, on a personal note, and this is a really niche favourite moment of mine, but when I was young... it wasn't a plastic chair. I'm going back. When I was young, we were playing a what would now be a Pizza Cup match. And I don't remember who we were playing at all, but it was very, very empty, the stadium, because obviously it was never as full as a league game for those matches. And me and my dad were sat in our usual season ticket seats in the East Stand. And the ball went out quite near to where I sat, but not so close that I, you know, didn't have to move to get the ball. But there was no one else sat around us. So literally, I ended up being the ball boy. And my memory is just of Ian Hendon shouting at me, "Hurry up!" I don't know. I must have been, I don't know, maybe about 15. I don't know exactly how old I was back then, in fairness. I just remember it being one of those where I just sort of went, okay, I'm doing my best. I can't even find it. But yeah, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Just anything like that is just great. But in terms of, you know, an actual on the pitch kind of memory, obviously 2015-16 will live long in the memory. Of course it will. Anfield, that win will just absolutely incredible. And then the Sunderland, the loss to Sunderland on penalties in the same competition, that was an amazing night. That was an amazing day, you know, going to see that. And so many great times that we've done. The Coventry away in the FA Cup in 2015, such an emotional day. There are just so many, and it's one of those things I loved about the fact that when we had, you know, the legends came out at half time and were introduced to the crowd. I mean, a lot of them, you know, they're before our time. You know, we don't remember a lot of those. We weren't there to witness them play, but it was great having them there because we've heard the names, and then you get to the ones that, you know, that I can remember, like. I think Steve Brown is basically the first one that I could remember when they came out in that order, essentially, didn't they? Steve Brown was the first one that I thought, yes, I saw him play for us.
Sean was very quick to point out that Peter Gleeser was walking up Welly Road with chips before the game, which I thought was perfect. I love the fact that he wasn't stood near me, but made a point of coming to approach me to say, by the way, Chaz, just to let you know. I thought that was brilliant. Like you say, though, it brings together different generations, doesn't it? Because
absolutely.
Sean's really old and knows loads of these players from the 70s.
God bless you, Sean.
Good luck, Jeffy. Together. Well, you don't care.
You may never hear from me again.
I mean, I love the way that Scott McLeish was there.
Oh,
I mean,
love that. Scott McLeish.
And that brings me back to the memory of, do you remember the celebration, the poke in the eye celebration?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
It Stevenage?
Yeah.
Yeah, Stevenage, Lionel Perez.
Lionel Perez had poked him in the eye a couple of weeks, or poked somebody in the eye, hadn't he, a couple of weeks?
It was Dave Watson, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, I think that was it. And yeah, and then Scott goes and scores. Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
He looks like he could still do a job, Scott McLeish.
Yeah, absolutely.
He does, doesn't he? does. I reckon he'd still cover at least every other blade of grass. He might not get through every single one of them these days, but he'd get most of them, I reckon.
Yeah, he's only here and there now.
Yeah, not everywhere anymore, but he is here and there. Oh, brilliant. Well, and Bunny as well. Bunny being Bunny. There. I mean, incredible. Absolutely great. And obviously, Bukes as well. Yeah, just great having all of these.
It's a proper party.
Atco. Ian Atkins was there.
Ian Atkins was there.
I mean, there you go. I just
Razor.
Saw myself really.
Razor,
oh.
Samo.
Razor, yeah. Imagine putting all of them on the pitch, all those legends, and just saying, right, like, guys, you're playing R11. Let's see what you can do. Who would come off worse?
Oh, I don't think any of them would actually take you up on that offer. I really don't.
The only thing about the parade was a shame for me was that it's out of season, and so you haven't got the likes of Bayo and Ricky Holmes to come back.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine there's a reception that Bayo would get.
Oh,
if he rocked up,
huge.
But Ricky did say he's playing in the celebrity game, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He did. Yeah. Well, I think that's what's happening. Yeah. So he said that on the Radio Northampton Cobbler show, didn't he? So Hopefully we'll see a couple of them coming back over the next few months, which will be absolutely fabulous. I think it was a great way to kickstart these 125th birthday anniversary year. I think it's just. What a day. I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed it. It was brilliant from start to finish. Getting to, I don't want to set anybody off here, but, you know, getting to spend the whole day with my dad was really good as well. And, yeah, it was just brilliant. A job well done by NTFC.
Yeah, to the staff that organised it as well. Yeah. There's so many man hours have gone in, and woman hours. So many hours have gone in. The work that has gone on behind the scenes to get this day and everything surrounding this day to be perfect like it was. They are absolute saints, all of them.
And can I just a special shout out for the media team, because the social media, everything around this weekend has been written. The fact that, you know, the proper old school team lineup with the initials for the, you know, the middle names. Keep it. Make that a thing. Please, let's do that constantly. I think that is so good. The fact that, maybe not literally give full name on every single tweet that you do, because that must have been... Oh, God, I can imagine the copy and pasting that was going on now.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
My word. But absolutely, the fact that even the goal cam, did you see the goal cam on Twitter on Sunday?
Yes, I did.
Put into a nice sepia, black and white. Oh, just, I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Quite a revelation that Mitch Pinnock is called Mitchell Bernard Pinnock.
Yes.
That is a top quality A-star name there, Mitch.
Absolutely. Well, Jack Anthony Charles William Sowerby. Oh, what a name.
What a name.
I thoroughly enjoyed all of it. Really did. It was brilliant. So well done to everyone at the Cobblers. Obviously, well done on the victory. Well done to the three of us. Oh, the other thing, we haven't mentioned it. Can't believe I've not mentioned this. I got my hands on the award. Danny.
Oh, you did, yeah.
Danny, yes. Danny gladly handed over the award. Didn't warn me how heavy it was.
It is. It's bloody heavy.
My arm, I'm not kidding you, right? My arm feels really tight.
It's been passed around like the FA Cup in the pub.
It was. I loved it. At one point, I went to the toilet and came back, and it wasn't where I put it. And I was like, who's got it? Where's it gone?
See, the plan was to give it to you at your car, but it was chucking it down and freezing. And I had Isaac with me, so I thought, I'll go and wait in the pub. And then I don't think you had time to put it back in your car before everyone arrived. No. And so it looked like we just plugged it out on a parade.
We need an open-top bus.
We do need an open-top bus, yeah. I thought that was only for second place.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well.
Yeah, we don't do that, do we?
I enjoyed Ricky and Chris having a good old laugh at that.
I did. So, look, thank you again to every single one of you that came to see us, everybody that said hello to me, Danny, or Chezzy, or Neil on the day. It was great. Thank you to everyone at Northampton Town Football Club just for putting on what was a tremendous day from our point of view and from everybody that we've spoken to. I hope you've really enjoyed today's episode. It's been fabulous being able to share these memories with you and to also go through and have a really positive pod. It's been fun. Should we do it again next week? That'd be good, wouldn't it? Thank you so much for listening. This is It's All Cobblers to Me. You can support us on Patreon if you'd like to. It's patreon.com/cobblers to me. Danny and I will be back on Friday with the preview show, looking ahead to Carlisle away. Have a great week, Cobblers fans. And of course, happy birthday, Cobblers.
Happy birthday, Northampton Town Football Club.
Way! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on, because we deserve it.
Happy birthday, you beautiful Wazucks.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing, so we've partnered with FanHub to put fans first. Search FanHub app to play your part in the journey.